Lecture topic, Self-Destruction, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu Alil Mab'uthi Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Wa Man Ihtada Bihadihi Wa Iqtada Bisunnatihi Ila Yawmid Deen Wa Ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكلا نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك وجاءك في هذه الحق وموعظة وذكرى للمؤمنين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is a natural phenomena and a human instinct to sympathize and empathize with the victim of any tragedy, be he friend or foe, whether he belongs to a common religion or any other denomination. It is intrinsic to the human nature and it's inherent to his temperament to support, to mutually assist and aid the victims of any tragedy. And from time to time we see there is an awareness campaign, there is a collection drive, there is an awakening to assist and support the victims of a tragedy. And this is awesome, this is brilliant, this is meritorious. And honestly speaking, it is by virtue of such qualities that it elevates the human race over all other kinds. However, as sympathetic as the human is, and as caring as he is, his approach and response is very, very different when the nature of the tragedy is self-inflicted. The very caring human becomes apprehensive, he becomes two-minded, and he becomes skeptical. No, I don't help him. Leave him, he needs to learn a lesson. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, I sympathize with the victim of every tragedy, but a jealous man, he's decided to inflict himself, he must live with it. If you harbor agony, you must live with jealousy. Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam, after the destruction of his nation, addressing the dead corpse, he said, Ya qawmi laqad ablaghtukum risalati rabbi wa nasahtu lakum fakayfa asa ala qawmin kafirin. Listen, you lie as dead corpse. I warned you, I cautioned you. How can I lament the bitter end of a nation that chooses to deny? How can I cry and lament when this is what you wanted? Sima'ul Mauta is an academic debate. It's a scholastic debate that the deceased can also listen. Someone came to Shataullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi and asked him, is it true that the dead can listen? He said, we live in a time even the living are not listening. We live in a time even the living are not listening. If we look around us, by and large, the problems that have gripped and plagued the world are self-inflicted. So, somebody tells you, did you hear Brother Ibrahim was admitted into the clinic? No, inna lillah, what happened? He's got lung cancer. What are you telling me? Yeah, but then again, you know, he's got a bad smoking habit. I guess, what can we do? He'll have to live with it. If that's what he wants in life, there's very little we can do. And then you get home and the phone rings. كَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَرْجُ الْبَشَارَ فَتَبْدُوا لَهُ الْخَسَارَةِ وَكَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَرْجُ الْعَطَى فَيَبْدُوا لَهُ الْبَلَاءِ. You anticipate good, and there you know something unpleasant. You pick up the phone. No! Are you serious? Now the people around you are in panic mode. What happened? Wait. The marriage broke. But I thought they were so happy and everything was fine. Yeah, apparently one partner was cheating over the other. Oh, well then maybe it's better it broke. And then you walk out of the masjid, hey, you heard this guy's liquidated. Everything insolvent. Why? Compulsive gambler, he's got a bad habit. In essence, we've become a self-destructive nation, because of which the element of sympathy for our problems are also gradually dwindling away. We're becoming loners in our problem. Hey, I believe your brother's got a bad habit, man. You know what? Our family's washed their hands off. We've done so much, but now we can't do anything. You want to help him? It's your choice. You know, we've learned to move on with life. We've learned to move on with life. We've become a self-destructive nation, and there is no longer a sympathetic eye for us. فَمَا بَكَتَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْضَرِينَ. When the tyrant Pharaoh died, Allah said, neither the skies, nor the earth, nor the humans, nobody wanted to tear, everyone was only rejoicing. Good riddance to such an evil man. The only way we can free ourselves from these trials and attract not human sympathy but divine sympathy is we align ourselves to the lives of Sahaba and synchronize our thinking to the thinking of Sahaba. Then only will we see a shift and a change in the happenings of the world. And while every Sahabi's life is symbolic and exemplary, and in particular the Khulafa, because it has a political dimension and a rich contribution in the political sphere and arena as well. But I thought briefly today I share with you anecdotes from the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. At the onset I must say, and I will tie it up with the couplets of Ali radiallahu anhu, the nature of human existence on earth is riddled with challenges. What I want to speak about today is life by its nature is challenging. Unfortunately, we compounding the problem by inflicting new problems upon ourselves. So I don't have a recipe to give you a hiccup-free life. Nay, the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created man in labor and pain and agony. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written under this ayah, it's a futile exercise to expect a hiccup-free life. If you're planning and hoping, in English they say there's two words, expecting and accepting. Expecting will end up in tears, accepting will end up in cheers. There are two words, expecting and accepting. I expect this from you. The levels of expectation when entering into a relation are too high. Expectation levels are too high. So expecting will end up in tears, while accepting will end up in cheers. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We've created man in challenges. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had to contend with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then 6 months thereafter he lost his spouse and his partner Fatima radiallahu anha, then he sang the amazing couplets, أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. I see the oceans are becoming rough upon me. The waters are becoming stormy. The tides are mounting upon me. The view has become blurred and obscured. أَرَى عِلَلَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. And that after all is the nature of life on earth. A person is gripped and plagued by challenges and adversities till he meets his Allah. لِكُلِّ اجْتِمَاعٍ مِّنْ خَلِيلَيْنِ فُرْقًا. What less a challenge is this, that the union of every two ends in separation. What less a challenge is this, that the union of every two ends in separation. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi's words when consoling someone is so amazing. He used to say, إِنِّي مُعَزِّيكَ لَا أَنِّي عَلَى ثِقَةٍ مِّنَ الْخُلُودِ وَلَكِنْ سُنَّةَ الدِّينِ. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَى إِلَى حِينِ وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. My brother, I have come to pay my respect and console you, not because I have the assurance of eternity. Neither me nor you will see eternity. I'm only consoling you, not because I have guarantee on life, but because it's one of the practices and the rituals of Islam. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. This is the temperament, the nature of life. رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. Sometimes you bid farewell to a close one, sometimes you separate with your belongings and your possession. When Aisha radiallahu anha was in Medina and her brother Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr passed away, and he passed away in a place called Hubsha, which was one manzil from Makkah. In Tirmidhi this narration comes, and in Mishkat under Babu Dafni al-Mayyit it has been mentioned. And I read the commentary in Madahir al-Haq Jadid about it. Ibn Abi Mulayka makes mention of the narration. So Aisha radiallahu anha was in Medina Munawwara. Abdul Rahman, her brother, passed away in Hubsha. His body was then brought to Makkah and he was buried there. When she came for Hajj, she passed by the grave there, and she obviously was reflecting over the life of her brother. And then she sang two couplets. وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْجَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَ فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. Myself and my brother Abdul Rahman were like the two ministers of the king Jadhima. They ruled for 40 years. People said they're inseparable. They live together. They will die together. Malik and Uqayl. But when Malik passed on and Uqayl had to live, he said, now that time has moved on and things have matured and I have continued with my life, sometimes I think, I don't know if we ever met in life. Yet 40 years they were inseparable. So that's the nature of life. This is what Aisha radiallahu anha said. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاتِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاتِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. And the fact that I've lost Fatima radiallahu anha after losing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a loud indication that nobody is here to stay. Nobody is here to stay. Brothers, again we interrupted, there are few cars. For Allah's sake, would you be kind enough to move? There's a Toyota, there's some ND180 and some Nissan Almera 633378. Please be kind enough to excuse your car. وَإِنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. The fact that I lost Fatima radiallahu anha after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a proof that no human on this earth is here to remain. So, what I want to focus my talking, the nature that Allah has designed for us on earth is challenging. Unfortunately, we have brought misery upon ourselves. We have inflicted ourselves. We hit in our own self. And we're having to contend with this self-inflicted crisis for which there's nobody to listen to our problem. One of the greatest causes of human misery today on the earth stems from greed and jealousy. One of the greatest causes of self-infliction on this earth today is we've made our life narrow and miserable, and we have complicated matters upon ourselves. We're having to deal with what Mother Nature has put on our lap, and we have to navigate and we have to hang on firm on this and not entertain negativity against our Allah. وَلَا تَظْنُمْ بِرَبِّكَ ظَنَّ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْلَى بِالْجَمِيلِ. Because people are going through crisis in their life. I am going through in my life, you going through in your life. There is no person that has a hiccup-free life. So let me share with you a few incidents to illustrate and explain to you how greed has caused misery in our life and what was the thinking of Sahaba and how did they conduct themselves. So here comes a person frail, jismin nahifin, in a frail body, thawbin mumazzaqin, in torn and tattered clothes, miskinun, a beggar, يَطْلُبُ الطَّعَامَ مِنْ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He comes to ask some food from Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali is sitting outside with his son Hassan. So here we're talking of the world harps on the aspect of quality time. Let's see how the quality time happens. This one, and as I will explain, there's so many factors that have been packaged together in the lives of Sahaba. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is having a light moment, sitting with his son Hassan radiallahu anhu. They're talking, they're chatting, father and son are having a discussion. Here this beggar comes, the son is observing, and he says, oh Ali, would you kindly spare me a dirham? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu tells his son Hassan, اذهب إلى أمك وقل لها إن أبي ترك عندك ستة دراهم فهات منها درهما. Oh my respected mother, my father said that he's left with you 6 dirhams, there's a beggar there. Please could you provide 1 dirham so my father can pass it on. So quality time, he's observing the element of generosity, responding, assisting. Fatima radiallahu anha, in her human, common woman reaction, she said, that's about all what is in the house. You know, one is you say, go in the house and tell your mother, I want 1,000 rand, not from my wallet, not in the closet, not in the cupboard, the one on the microwave.
And there's dollars there, leave that, not the pounds, the euros, leave that, will you, the 1,000 rand, yeah, 200 notes, leave the 100 rand notes, just bring that. No, no, 6 dirhams was about all in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. 6 dirhams was about all in the house of Fatima radiallahu anha. In her human reaction, taraktu sittata darahim lid-daqiq. I thought we'll make, buy some flour, prepare some food. So I'm not objecting, I'm not opposing, I'm not declining, but ask your dad and ask my partner if he's fine with this year. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu comes back. Now the child is learning. Yeah, the child is getting exposure to vulgarity, to obscene language, to vituperative comments, to condescending attitudes, to negative words. This is the exposure the child is getting. Here the child is learning, observing, reflecting, introspecting. Sayyidina Ali said, no, لا يصدق إيمان عبد حتى يكون ما في يد الله أوثق مما في يده. No, now we have to learn something important and we need to set the principle correctly. Iman demands that your reliance is greater in the treasures of Allah than what's in your hand and in your possession. So now ask your mom, I need all the 6 dirhams. Now let's just reflect and walk along. At this point, if this comes, it will be elevated to a point of no return. It gets ugly, it gets bitter, it gets vulgar. It's my brother, his sister, his uncle, my aunt, and it's really blown out. Fatima radiallahu anha realized, she respected the sensitivity of the moment, she gave the 6 dirhams, it was nipped into the bud, the atmosphere restored, returned to normality, took the 6 dirhams, gave it to the beggar, off he went. The narrator of the hadith says, مَا قَامَ عَلِيٌّ مِّن مَجْلِسِهِ حَتَّى جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مَعَهُ جَمَلٌ يُرِيدُ بَيْعَهُ. Sayyidina Ali is sitting there, I'm observing this whole thing, a man passes by with a camel, and he's selling this camel. Sayyidina Ali hasn't moved from his place. Quality time with his son. Charity in the morning. And yeah, he strikes a deal. And he doesn't have to go to China to do the deal. Allah brings the deal at his house. So he asked the person, أَتَبِيعُ الْجَمَلْ you selling the camel? He said, yes indeed. How much? بِمِئَةٍ وَأَرْبَعِينَ دِرْهَمًا 140 dirhams. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, okay, it's a done deal. Do me a favor. اِعْقِلْهُ tie the camel here. عَلَىٰ أَن نُؤَخِّرَكَ بِثَمَنِهِ I don't have the money, I'll pay you as soon as I have it. عَقَلَ يَعْقِلُ Those who study the Arabic language and are intrigued by its linguistics and appreciate the depth of its etymology. Sayyid Ahmed Kabir Rifa'i Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was from the Mashayikh of Baghdad and the Muasireen of great scholars. He said, عَقَلَ in Arabic means to tie. عِقَال means to the rope with which you tie the camel. The human intellect is also called aql because it's supposed to tie and grip your ego and your nafs. If you know Arabic, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. Aqal, aql ya'qilu. So if it's gripping, if it's controlling, if it's regulating, if it's disciplining, then you have fiḍati wa musammimun fi ar-ra's laysa binabi nothing. Aqilhu tie it ala an nu'akhkhiraka bi thamanihi. We will pay you as soon as money becomes available. That's fine. The narrator of the hadith says, the man barely leaves and another person comes. A minute passes by. Ali, are you selling this camel? Ali radiallahu said, of course I'm selling it. How much are you selling it for? I'm selling it for 200 dirhams. Qadib ta'tuhu, I have bought it for 200 dirhams. He said, okay, that's fine. He gives Ali radiallahu anhu the 200 dirhams. The man takes his camel. أَخَذَ الْبَعِيرُ وَأَعْطَى مِئَتَي دِرْهَمٍ gives the 200 and he goes. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu immediately goes and pays the man from whom he purchased the camel for 140 dirhams, takes the 60 and goes to his wife and gives it to her. She says, what is this here? He replies the verse, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا So Fatima radiallahu anhu says, what is this? Ali radiallahu anhu said, your father has told us that when we spend in the path of Allah, Allah won't only multiply our reward by 10, our monetary returns also by 10. This is a beautiful, perfect, wholesome, exemplary example. Hindsight, let's reflect, let's introspect, let's rewind. Why doesn't this happen to me? Number one, I won't muster the courage to give 6 dirhams in charity if that's all what I owned. Number two, a person comes, he sells the camel to me, I buy it for 140, perfect deal done. Then another person comes. Are you selling this camel? Of course I'm selling it. How much? 200? Oh, fine, I took it. Oh, this guy was ready. I think I should have said 250. Yeah. Oh, this guy was... That, my brother, has taken barakat away from your life. That greed has made misery in your life. No, you know what? Wait, man. I just need to speak to my wife. My wife reminded me that, you know what? Somebody has offered us 250. She just reminded me. Now, give it thought. Look here, if you come up with... That is where my misery comes. That is where your misery comes. This guy was game for anything. I said 200. If I said 300, he would walk away, man. Now I am restless. Anyway, hypothetically, I settled on 200. And he took it on 200. What I did? I didn't go pay the man 140. This weekend, I'm splashing with my family. We're going out. I promised my family a weekend out. So I am usurping and devouring the due of someone else so that I can enjoy a party while his heart hurls the most nasty curse to my progeny. How can the dua of any pious man, how can your tears at the Kaaba rescue you when Allah is responding to his curse? إِذَا جْتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَطَلُ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُ إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلُ وَإِن كُنْتَ ذَا عَقْلٍ وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْإِنسَانُ غِمْدٌ لِعَقْلِهِ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَسْلُ. The words of Ali radiallahu anhu. Ask those that understand Arabic what a daunting task it is to put this in a translation form. I won't go pay him his 140. This is now where I inflict misery in my life. I swear by Allah, the man that is withholding dues is never happy in his life. How are you saying the words of Allah incorrect? How long will you run? How long can you run? You will fall. إِذَا جْتَمَعَ الْآفَاتِ. Look at the takhayyul of the shahir. Look at the words of Ali radiallahu anhu. إِذَا جْتَمَعَ الْآفَاتِ. If I have to start penning down evil traits, surely the wicked of them all is to mize. No, there's something even worse. That's the words of Ali radiallahu anhu. One is to say that, number one, that's not his expression. If you know Arabic grammar, you'll know what I'm saying. إِذَا جْتَمَعَ الْآفَاتُ فَالْبُخْلُ شَرُّهَا. If I start penning down evil traits, surely to mice is worse. No. وَشَرٌّ مِّنَ الْبُخْلِ الْمَوَاعِيدُ وَالْمَتَلُ. I forgot there's something worse than that, and that is to make a promise and not honor it, and to delay in settling your debts. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا كَانَ كَاذِبًا وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي وَعْدٍ. Don't bother making a promise if you're not going to honor it. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي قَوْلٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِعْلُ. And what good is there in an utterance if you can't marry it with action? إِن كُنْتَ ذَا عِلْمٍ. If you've acquired knowledge, وَلَمْ تَكُ عَاقِلًا, but you don't apply your logic. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ. Then you have a leg to stand on. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي نَعْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رِجْلُ. Then you have shoes, but you don't have any legs. If you've acquired knowledge, but you don't apply your logic, you have to marry the two, you have to merge the two, you have to synchronize the two. One works, in hand with the other. And vice versa, وَإِن كُنْتَ ذَا عَقْلٍ. If you rely exclusive on your intellect, I know it all, I read it all, I understand it all, but you're bereft of knowledge, you're devoid of character, you're deprived of values. فَأَنْتَ كَذِي رِجْلٍ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ نَعْلُ. Then you have a leg, but you don't have shoes, and you'll hurt yourself. أَلَا إِنَّمَا الْإِنسَانُ غِمْدٌ لِعَقْلِهِ وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَصْلُ. You have the sheath, or you have the holster. So you keep your gun in there. The sheath is to unsheath a sword or put the sword inside. You walk in around with the sheath, but no sword inside. You have no brains. What are you saying? No, everything happens upstairs. You got nothing upstairs. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي غِمْدٍ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ نَصْلُ. Second incident. جَلَسَ رَجُلَانِ. I'm talking about self-infliction. Remember, life is challenging. That's what I'm saying. That's it. That's the nature. And we've seen it happening upon us at this time, really in a very loud scale, in a very big way. You barely can digest what you have to do with, and you know what's happening in your neighbor and the family and across the road and the local and the global and the macro level, and it just goes on and on. So at its least, if we can learn to insulate ourselves against self-infliction, hopefully as humanity we will somehow recover. So two people are sitting on the side of the road. Tariq al-Khulafa, this incident has been mentioned. جَلَسَ رَجُلَانِ إِلَى جَانِبِ الطَّرِيقِ يَتَغَدَّيَانِ. They're sitting on the side of the road and they're having lunch. مَعَ أَحَدِهِمَا خَمْسَةُ أَرْغِفَ. One of them had five loaves of bread. وَمَعَ الْآخَرِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَرْغِفَ. And the other one had three loaves. Tariq al-Khulafa Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned it. The other one had three loaves. They sat down. فَمَرَّ بِهِمَا رَجُلْ. A person passed by. Sallam, he greeted. So they responded and they felt ethically, morally, religiously obliged. They said, brother, ijlis wa taghadda ma'ana, please sit down, join us. So he also responded positively and he sat down. فَأَكَلُوا الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَةَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. They ate the eight loaves equally. Reflect over the words, equally. فَقَامَ الرَّجُلُ الثَّالِثِ. The third person stood up. وَأَعْطَاهُمَا ثَمَانِيَةَ دَرَاهِمْ. And he gave them eight dirhams. He said, خُذَاهَا عِوَضًا عَمَّا أَكَلْتُ مِنْ طَعَامِكُمَا. Listen, brothers, kind of you, I know you haven't asked, but let me acknowledge you, you know, let me acknowledge you. You know, I always say that friend of mine, he says, Molana, people are strange. I tell him, I'm selling chocolates. They say, I'm a diabetic. I tell him, take it for free. They say, okay, I'll eat it. What happened to your diabetes? Subhanallah. My brother, the problem is my pocket got diabetes. My pocket has diabetes. My iman has diabetes. If there's heart in this place in your heart, there's place everywhere. Anyway, they ate. He stood up. He said, no, let me acknowledge you. This is the beauty, the balance. They were kind enough. تُعَامُ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَكْفِ الثَّلَاثَ. The food of two is adequate for three. He at the same time reciprocated the kindness and he offered his eight dirhams. They took it. Here comes the element of dispute and discord. فَتَنَازَعَا. They argue, they quarrel. So the one who had five loaves, he said, in all logic, I will take five dirhams, my brother. You had three loaves, you take three. He said, no, تَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا مُنَاصَفَةً. We must split it equally. I will walk the full legal route. We'll go through all litigation process. This is it. This is the serious problem. I go to Canada often. It's a sad reality. 14 massages cases are sitting in the court in Toronto. And it's openly gazetted. It's an open story. It's an open book. So I'm not splashing out anything here. I make dua and I hope it recovers. 14 massages, internal bickering, trustees, massages, related issues are sitting in the courts. So they said, let's go to Sayyidina Ali and resolve it. Now see where things become ugly. Over the element of greed, over one dirham. Over one dirham. You know, we're fighting over it. No, I need to, because you know what, it's so much money. And then just then the dollar falls. And yesterday I was breaking my head for 1,000 rand, and I get up in the morning and I've lost 100,000 rand. And I have no choice. I have absolutely, it's outside my control and my jurisdiction. So they go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. فَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِمَا حَدَثْ. And they narrate it to Sayyidina Ali. But before I tell you what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu explained, let me objectively digress and tell you what was the secret of the profoundness in the pronouncement of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Ibn Jarir's narration, some people from Yemen came to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Ata Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nasum min Yemen. Some people from Yemen came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ib'ath fina man yufaqihuna fi ddeen, wa yu'allimuna as-sunan, wa yahkum fina bi kitabillah. Please be kind enough to delegate someone responsible enough who can impart and disseminate to us the sciences of Islam, to whom we can identify and rely. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions around him, everyone was capable to the limit. You know, sometimes somebody says, can I use one of your students? Now you're looking around, hey, you know, I don't mind, but I don't know who to trust. Sayyidina Luqman said, send a wise man as a messenger, and if you don't find a wise man, delay your task or get up and go yourself. Sayyidina Luqman said, depute a wise man, and if you don't find a wise man, delay your task or get up yourself and do it. Don't give it to anyone else, your regrets will be greater. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Ali, there's the call to Yemen, respond to the call. Intaliq ya Ali, fafaqihhum fi al-deen, wa'allimhum as-sunan, wahkum fihim bi kitabillah. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, inna ahla al-Yemen qawmun tagham, ya'tuni min al-qada' bima la ilma li fihi. O Nabi of Allah, the people of Yemen, I don't have a problem, but sometimes they can, you know what, throw a curve ball to me. And sometimes they can present me with very complex issues. And I don't know if I have what it takes to resolve the complexity of their matters. فَضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ صَدْرِي. He gently struck my chest. And he said, اِذْهَبْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَهْدِي قَلْبَكَ وَيُثَبِّتُ لِسَانَكَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَهْدِي قَلْبَكَ وَيُثَبِّتُ لِسَانَكَ. Go, O Ali, Allah will guide your heart and inspire your tongue. فَمَا شَكَكْتُ فِي قَضَاءٍ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنِ حَتَّى السَّاعَةِ. From that day till the day I died, I never doubted or had difficulty in pronouncing any judgment, regardless of how confusing or how severe the nature of the altercation was. One day in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, two incidents, and we continue with what I was saying, but just to give you a glimpse into the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, one person was stoning a woman, flogging a woman. So Umar radiallahu anhu intervened and he said, what's the matter? He said, oh Umar, tazawwajtuha, I wedded this woman, فَأَنْجَبَتْ لِي بَعْدَ سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرٍ. She gave birth to a child within 6 months. So obviously that gets me confused and worried, perhaps there was an early deposit. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, obviously, brothers, there are such disturbing things coming out. There are such frightening stories that we are hearing, that people living under a common roof, assuming that they are the father of the child, at 4 and 5 years when medical reports are presenting, and it's not corresponding with common blood groups, are we discovering you're not the father? Take him for a blood test, take him for this, do that, correspond details, and then there is alarming things happening. Allah guide, Allah protect. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, Sayyidina Umar said, okay, then stone her, and whatever has to happen. Ali radiallahu came from the rear and he said, innaha bari'atun min az-zina. I exonerate her and I vindicate her. She's an innocent woman. So Umar said, okay, wait, back off. Ali has a contrary verdict. He said, Ali, support your verdict, radiallahu anhu. He said, Allah says two verses in the Quran, and through that I will deduce. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ. In Surah Baqarah, in the second juz, Allah says, it is upon the woman to nurse her child for 2 years. Surah Ahqaf, 26 juz, first quarter. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. Allah says the pregnancy period, the nursing period, and the weaning period is 30 months. How do we reconcile between this 2 year? One verse suggests that 2 months is the weaning period, and another verse suggests that everything is wrapped up in 30 months. That's a subtle hint to the fact that there is possibility of birth, legitimate birth within 6 months. Because 30 months gives a conclusive package, and another verse says, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is exhilarating, he is overwhelmed, he is ecstatic. Lawla Aliyun lahalaka Umar. And that was the beauty of Sahaba. May Allah bless you, may Allah reward you, may Allah open you, may Allah inspire you. You have rescued Umar today. You have rescued Umar. There is a narration in Bayhaqi. One woman, her husband was out. Imra'atun mughayyiba, ghaba anha zawjuha. But people were visiting there, and obviously there was some concern, and it was a bit alarming to know why were men going there, what was the explanation to it. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, let's probe it, let's query it. And he said, call that woman and come. She was obviously pregnant as well. Initially she declined and she says, no, no, Mali wali Umar. Mali wali Umar, what I'm going to go there by Umar? Uta jayne hu kewa. What am I going to go there? What am I going to say? They said, no, Ajibi Umar, Ajibi Ben, you have to go. Amir al-Mu'mineen is calling. Anyway, she mustered the courage, she comes out. Now the fear, the awe of Umar, ضَرَبَهَا الطَّلْقُ, her anguish prompted early labor. دَخَلَتْ دَارًا, she entered her house. أَلْقَتْ وَلَدَهَا, premature, she gave birth. صَاحَ السَّبِيُّ سَيْحَتَيْن, the child made a scream or a cry and he passed away. فَاسْتَشَارَ عُمَرُ إِنْ عَدْلِ, كِتَابُ الْعَدْلِ إِنْ حَيَاتُ السَّحَابَةِ. I was in December in Toronto, and mashallah, there was a very big event there. There was like a good few thousands. So some youngsters came from America. There was about 4,000 or 5,000. Just one thing I want to share there. So, you know, it was so heartening. They came to me and said, Sheikh, I've been listening to you and following you. There's two kitabs I really want to buy. This poetry of Imam Shafi and this Hayatul Sahaba. I said, Allah, bring that kitabs in your house. Inshallah, that will have its own barakah. Wallah, the writings of the pious, the du'as of the pious, the advisors of the pious has its own share of barakah in our lives. It has its own share. I said, brother, buy this kitab and keep this. And ideally you read it and imbibe it and convey it. You will see the lives of Sahaba, what it will do to you. Hayatul Sahaba is an amazing kitab. It's an amazing kitab. I just cannot tire seeing the beauty in this kitab. So anyway, فَاسْتَشَارَ عُمَرُ أَصْحَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. Umar radiallahu anhu consulted with the Sahaba. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ وَالٍ وَمُؤَدِّبٍ. No, you acted within your rights. You're perfectly entitled. You didn't do anything. She reacted harshly. That's her choice. It's within your act. So I don't think there's any legal implications upon you. Sayyidina Ali didn't look impressed. So if we see somebody is not impressed, we will bypass him. Sayyidina Umar said, Ali, any response from you? He said, إِن كَانُوا قَالُوا بِرَأْيِهِمْ فَقَدْ اِخْطَأَ رَأْيُهُمْ وَإِن كَانُوا قَالُوا فِي هَوَاكَ فَلَمْ يَنْصَحُوكَ. I don't know if they've erred in their verdict or they don't understand your interests. أَرَىٰ أَنَّدِيَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, your excellency, with utmost respect to your presence, you are liable. You prompted the anguish in this woman. You provoked this entire uneasiness. You are liable, Umar. You will have to take responsibility of this. He said, I appreciate it, and adequate measures were then instituted. Coming back to the point, these people ate, they ate loaves and they went to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. They went to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. What did I say? Half of our problems are because of greed. Now it's a whole long drawn event. Take your 8 dirhams. My brother, take 3 and go. You take 5 and go. Over. So they get to Sayyidina Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu hears the entire thing. Look at the wisdom of Ali. Look at the foresight. And then we want to still read other people. This thing is, it hurts me. It bites me. It consumes me. It just doesn't gel with my logic when we have such intelligent thinkers and such great people in our annals. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu addressed the person who had 3 loaves. He said to him, قَدْ عَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ صَاحِبُكَ مَا عَرَضْ وَخُبْزُهُ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ خُبْزِكَ فَخُذِ الدَّرَاهِمَ الثَّلَاثَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Listen, brother, before I start giving you an official ruling, let me give you my advice. This brother of yours, this friend of yours, has made a proposal to you. Take it from me, walk away with 3, you'll be more happy. You have 3 loaves, this man has made a proposal to you, take 3, settle on this, you'll be a happy man. No, لَنْ أَخُذَ إِلَّا حَقِّي. Nobody eats my money. Yeah, me, I'll take him to the graveyard. You know, my late brother was a gangster. Don't be deceived by my beard. My brother, hold your horses, stay in your tracks. No, I want my right. I want my share. Sayyidina Ali said, you're insisting? He said, yeah, I want my share. He said, okay, then I'm sorry to inform you, in terms of right and due, you don't get 3 nor 2, you walk away with 1 only. لَيْسَ لَكَ إِلَّا دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. If you think that's astonishing, now see how he unfolds and unpacks this. When I read this, my heart cried, my eye teared. I said, Allah, what people you created? هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ أَنْ يَأْتِ الزَّمَانُ بِمِثْلِهِ إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِ لَبَخِيلُ. هَلَفَ الزَّمَانُ لَيَأْتِيَنَّ بِمِثْلِهِمْ حَنَثَتْ يَمِينُكَ يَا زَمَانُ فَكَفِّرْ. You have to see the ta'bir of the shu'ara. The Arabic poet says, addressing the world in the time, he says, you've promised us. He's talking to the world. You've promised us, you're going to repeat the likes of Sahaba. You failed miserably in your oath. It's time you atone for your false oath. Oh my word. It's time you atone for this false oath. The world in its entirety cannot produce one like Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, in terms of right and due, my brother, now it's over. I told you take three and walk, you would have been a happy man. When I want to argue and I want to say, no, we'll negotiate and we'll do this, you're not getting happy. It's a futile exercise. You bring in misery, you bring in wrath, you bring in unpleasantness. So life is challenging, it is daunting. You compound in it by this element of greed. So, فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ مُتَعَجِّبًا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَرِّفْنِي كَيْفَ ذَلِكْ حَتَّى أَقْبَلَهُ. And tell me, how is only one my right? When, how, what? Explain. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, listen. أَلَيْسَ لِلْثَمَانِيَةِ الْأَرْغِفَةِ أَرْبَعَةٌ وَعِشْرُونَ ثُلُثًا. Take eight and divide it into three people equally. You cannot do it. Cut each loaf into halves and make it 16 portions and divide it into three equally. You cannot. Double it and make it 24. Yes, you can. So you told me three of yous ate eight loaves equally. That's what you had told me, and I'd mentioned that in the beginning when I was speaking about this here. So effectively it means, to understand what you said, that these eight loaves were divided into 24 portions. وَإِذَا قُسِّمَ عَلَى ثَلَاثًا. And when you divide 24 portions over three people, صَارَ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَثْلَاثٍ. Then every person comes home with eight portions. That's basically what it means. وَأَرْغِفَتُكَ الثَّلَاثَةُ تُسَاوِي تِسْعَةَ أَثْلَاثٍ. And your three loaves times three equates nine. أَكَلْتَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. From which you ate eight. وَبَقِيَ لَكَ ثُلُثٌ. And only one portion of your nine portions were not eaten by you. وَأَمَّا صَاحِبُكَ. And your friend. فَأَرْغِفَتُهُ الْخَمْسَةَ. His five loaves. تُسَاوِي خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ ثُلُثًا. Five times three becomes 15. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا سَبْعَةً. He ate for أَكَلَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. He ate from it eight. وَبَقِيَ لَهُ سَبْعَةٌ. Instantly, no computer, let me go online. Wait, the lines are down here. Wait, man, my service is... No, this is the mind, this is the brain. أَكَلَ مِنْهَا ثَمَانِيَةً. He ate eight. بَقِيَ لَهُ سَبْعَةٌ. He had seven portions from his five loaves which were not eaten by him. أَكَلَهَا صَاحِبُ الدَّرَاهِمِ مَعَ ثُلُثِكَ. That third person ate his seven with your one, which becomes eight for him. ثُمَّ أَعْطَاكُمْ ثَمَانِيَةَ الدَّرَاهِمْ. Then he dropped your eight dirhams. فَلَكَ دِرْهَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. So take your one and move and give your friend his seven. He says, no, but that three was sounding good, my brother. Yes, my friend, it was sounding good. Where did the misery come from? Greed. Where did the misery come from? Greed. So telling my wife, I'll be coming late. I'm trying to strike a deal. In the end, I don't come home with anything more. In fact, I deny myself what I had. And I come home miserable and agitated and frustrated because greed has paralyzed me. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, third incident, walks out in the night. It is cold. He is hungry. تَرْتَعِشُ أَطْرَافُهُ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَرْدِ وَالْجُوءِ. He's trembling with cold and hunger. He has a piece of leather. أَخَذَ قِطْعَةً مِّنْ حَصِيرٍ كَانَتْ عَنْدَهُ. قَطَعَهَا. He cuts it. أَدْخَلَهَا تَحْتَ ثِيَابِهِ. He inserts it beneath his clothing. رَبَطَ بِهَا صَدْرَهُ. He then ties it on his chest. لِيَسْتَدْفِئَ بِهَا. To draw some heat from it. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَصْرَحُونَ. Surah An'am, Surah Nahal, the bee. Another name of the surah is Surah Ni'am, bounties. Allah says, we created the animal for you. From its hide, dif'un adfa, you draw warmth and coolness. So he puts it to draw some heat and some warmth from it. He says, مَا فِي الْبَيْتِ شَيْءٌ أَكُلُ مِنْهُ. There's nothing at home that I can eat. ولو كان في بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Our children's arrogance has gone to such a level that even if you take them out to eat, they moan in and groan in. They fuss in. I don't like this, yeah? I'm tired of this fish. You know what? This is a delicacy that some eat once a year, and my child snubs this and frowns on that delicacy. Going out to eat supposed to mend the relation. Many of the altercations happen when we out in. There is only misery today. There is misery in the lives. I'm only talking of one self-inflicted. Otherwise the list can continue on how many things we have caused harm to ourselves. There's nothing at home that I can eat. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ شَيْءٍ لَبَلَغَنِي. And if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, he would have given me. He walks out, one Yahudi sees him. He says, "Oh Ali, what is the problem?" He says, "Al-ju' wal-bard." Hunger and extreme cold. And in cold you feel more hungry. It's a natural feeling. He says, "هَلْ لَكَ أَن تَمْلَأَ لِي مَاءً عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْخُذَ مِن كُلِّ دَلْوٍ تَمْرًا." You ready to work? He's hungry. That's the other problem with the youth of today. They don't want to flex their muscles. They don't want to move themselves. Everything has to fall on their plate. Sayyidina Ali is hungry. I don't know what nation we're giving rise to. I don't know what's the future of tomorrow holding. Maryam alayhi salam is giving birth to one of the Ulul Azm prophets. Her birth is not been seen by the top gynecologists. It's been overseen by the great and chief angel Jibreel. Allah puts Jibreel, you take care of Maryam's birth. Modesty calls, he keeps himself at a distance. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. You know, I have been in the labor room of my wife, and you're petting her and you're comforting her, and we're fine and we'll take care and be okay, and Allah is there. And here comes Jibreel saying, "Be calm and composed, Maryam. All is under the care of Allah and the camera of Allah and the eye of Allah. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيًّا. Allah has caused a spring from the earth to gush. Allah is making divine arrangements. The Mufassirin deduce this. جَزَاهُمُ اللَّهُ عَنَّا خَيْرَ الْجَزَى. Everything is happening miraculously, not by the common law of cause and effect. And Allah is providing dates for her divinely. But even in the divine miraculous provision at the critical point of birth, Allah says, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Maryam, I'm going to give you dates, and awesome dates, and best dates. But this is the system of this world. Just lift your hand a little, be slightly strong, and shake that branch, but I'll give it to you. But you'll have to shake that branch. The youth of today don't want to shake anything, other than unfortunately haram. The Mufassirin, while I'm on this, I'll just share one point. I read it in the tafsirs. Allah first arranged for the drink, then Allah arranged for the food, then Allah said, "Eat first and drink thereafter." فَكُلِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. You have to see how Mufassirin open every letter. Why did Allah say this first and why did Allah say that first? So they say it's human nature that when you sit down to eat, you want your drink to be there first, although you will drink it afterwards. But you won't start biting the burger till you don't have the drink. It's amazing how you need your drink there to comfort yourself, although you'll eat first and drink thereafter. Anyway, Allah tells Maryam, shake the branch and the dates fall. In that lies your honor. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, even the most mean of jobs are not so disgraceful as depending on handout ease. Even the most mean of jobs, the most simple of tasks, the most trivial of jobs are not so disgraceful as waiting for a handout or begging. Sayyidina Ali is hungry, it's cold, he starts filling the bucket. He starts filling the bucket. Every time he fills one bucket, أَعْطَاهُ الْيَهُودِيُّ تَمْرَةً. He's given one date. He fills a load, takes one date. Fills another load, takes another date. حَتَّمْ تَلَأَتْ كَفُّهُ. Until his palm is full. The Yahudi says, "I still got many other buckets to be filled." He said, "This is enough for my one day." حَسْبُكَ مِنِّي الْآنِ. But this is enough for my day. But I will give you enough for tomorrow, but I'm happy with today. Now you got a flight to come back, and just when you come in back, Ching Chong offered you a better deal in China. So now I need to speak to my travel agent. Can you put me on the next flight? And tell Ibrahim to open the shop. and tell the driver to pick up the children tomorrow. You know why? If this thing comes through, then you just tell them we can do a holiday in business class. We can do a holiday in business class. And if this thing comes right, inshallah, Umrah end of this year and Dubai next year. So this is my life. Sayyidina Ali said, you want more? No, no. Hattam tala atkaffuhu. My palm is full. I'm happy. Thank you very much. Your buckets. Take care of it. Good luck to you. فَأَكَلَ التَّمَرَاتِ He ate the dates. وَشَرِبَ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلِيلًا مِنَ الْمَاءِ And he drank the water. And then he came straight to the group of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is where they came and they comforted their pain. And they brought solace to their agony. And they relieved themselves from all their anguish. And he was about to perhaps steal the show in relation to his challenge. When a sahabi with greater circumstances appeared. وَحَوْلَهُ هَالَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِهِ And Ali walks in and he captures the extraordinary attention of Nabi alayhi salam. And the frail nature of his body was rather loud. And the pale color of his skin was giving it away. And the Prophet of Allah was on the verge of tearing and embracing him. When the young, talented Mus'ab ibn Umair walked in with torn and tattered. And he reduced the whole group to tears. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Ali looked at Mus'ab in the torn and tattered clothes, the young man who used to wear the most exclusive dress, who had the most flashing dress. And Nabi Alayhi Salaam said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مُسْعَبًا هَذَا وَمَا بِمَكَّةَ فَتَنْ أَنْعَمُ عِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ مِنْهُ لَقَدْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ You people don't know this boy. I know him when he was arrogant and affluent, flamboyant and shameless. Today he doesn't have cloth to cover his body. In my seerah talk recently, I mentioned the couplets of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, and I will quote that one stanza, the one verse. He said, "Yusalla ala al-mab'uth min ali Hashimin, yusalla ala al-mab'uth min ali Hashimin, wa yughza banuhu inna dha la'ajibu." You send salutations on the Hashemite Nabi, and you kill his grandson in Iraq, you kill his grandson, what a contradiction in the expression of your love. You send salutations, my brother, you have a durood khatam, or you have a pretext of a durood khatam, and you have a Quran khatam, pre the wedding, and the day of wedding, shameless, arrogant, flamboyant, deliberate, loud, public, repeatedly you disobey Allah without a frown on a forehead. Inna dhala ajeebu. I don't know what your durood is going to do and what your khatams will be. I don't know what it's going to do. Yusalla ala al-mab'uth min ali Hashim. You send durood and you kill his grandson. Before you open the shop, Quran khatam, durood khatam, this dua, this. And the next day you start off on interest. Well now, which is the right day to start? مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ بُدِئَ يَوْمَ الْأَرْبِعَاءِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ تَمَّ Now you look at that hadith also. I heard there's some virtue of Wednesday also. MashaAllah, you latching on to the slightest virtue. But arrogantly, deliberately, loudly, you are doing the open forbidden. You think the presence of some scholars and their supplication can undo the divine wrath of Allah? Forget about it. The presence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battle of Hunain could not attract the mercy of Allah when the gaze of Sahaba inadvertently, unintentionally went on their numbers a portion and momentarily. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا Nabi alayhi salam said, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ He looked at them. Look at their level of submission. Sayyidina Ali came like this. Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair came like this. He said, oh, you know, I see an era of super prosperity. كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذْ غَدَى أَحَدُكُمْ فِي حُلَّةٍ وَرَاحَ فِي حُلَّةٍ أُخْرَى وَسَتَرْتُمْ بُيُوتَكُمْ كَمَا تُسْتَرُ الْكَعْبَى Sahaba, Sahaba, what will happen a time when you will pride yourself in decorating your homes pretty much as the Kaaba is decorated? Today, Mus'ab doesn't have clothing. I foresee a day when every ummati will have multiple outfits. What has greed done? It has brought misery to our lives. Nabi Sassam walks into the garden of one sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is with. Nabi Sassam picked up a date and he ate it. He told Ibn Umar, join me and eat. La ashtahi. O Nabi of Allah, I don't have an inclination now. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's good. Your matter is still to do with inclination and disinclination. 4 days have lapsed. Nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi. You still at the stage of feeling or not feeling, wanting or not wanting. Then Nabi Alayhi Salaam said, the narration is in Hayatul Sahaba, كَيْفَ بِكَ يَبْنَ عُمَرْ إِذَا بَقِيتَ فِي قَوْمٍ يَخْبِئُونَ رِزْقَ سَنَتِهِمْ وَيَضْعُفُ الْيَقِينَ Ali, or Ibn Umar, a time will come, today we debating and arguing, having not, I mean, you'll walk into any of my ummati, averagely they will have provision for a year. Averagely they will have provision for a year. Every day when I see what's happening around in the world, I have a fresh opportunity to renew my iman on the truthfulness of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We heard about the painful tale in the news this week or last week. A boy weds his mother. There was a newspaper article and it was on many bulletins. A boy weds his mother. I shivered. I said, Allah, what a time have we come to, my Allah. My Allah, what are these eyes seen? We read the hadith of Tirmidhi. We never thought we will have to live to see this day. We read the hadith of Tirmidhi. And I recall distinctly when I was in Dora this hadith. لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي كَمَا أَتَىٰ عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ حَتَّى إِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَىٰ أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَا لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ Read Tirmidhi. Every practice, every evil trait that happened in the previous times will grip and plague my ummah to the extent if a man committed incest with his mother, surely it would repeat its likes in my ummah. We read this. We never for a moment thought these eyes will have to live up to see it. Allah alone knows. My granny, may Allah forgive her and elevate my grandparents and the entire ummah. You know, I was a little child, but she used to say these words and it rings in my ears. She say, "I juni aati navva tamasha ni jawai." These old eyes can't see these new fitnas anymore. These old eyes only know modesty. These old eyes don't know scantily dressed woman. These old ears only know integrity. They don't know arrogance and disobedience. These old eyes only knew you hold the Quran with respect and honor. These old eyes don't know and never heard blaring music. Every day when I used to meet her, I was a little child. Man, when she passed away, I was still young. But these ears, these words have left an indelible impression in my heart. She said, these old eyes cannot see these new pains, these new trials. Jabir radiallahu anhu comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Ali said, this world will prosper if there are four types of people. Alimun yasta'milu ilmahu, a scholar, a great scholar. And I think it's only opportune for me to speak and remind ourselves of the great Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh. When we speak of scholars, then he was a man who had touched every one of us in his own way. And what did the Arabic poet say? قَدْ ذَهَبَ النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ الْكَمَالُ قَدْ ذَهَبَ النَّاسُ وَمَاتَ الْكَمَالُ وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالُ The great giants have moved on, and with them they took in their bosom the profoundness of their character. The earth called out, where are the Yunus Patels of today? Where are these people? وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ Where are men? Allama Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, and I read it in his Mathnawi, a person came in the marketplace with a torch. And he started walking around. People said, it's broad daylight, my friend. On the solar system, cars are moving also. What are you using your torch? He said, help me, man, I'm looking for human beings. Hello? Sorry, this is moving. I'm looking for human. He said, what do you see? He says, these are slaves of the egos. I'm looking for humans. وَصَاحَ صَرْفُ الدَّهْرِ أَيْنَ الرِّجَالِ هَذَا أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ فِي نَعْشِهِ قُومُوا فَانْذُرُوا كَيْفَ تَسِيرُ الْجِبَالُ Stand up. and bud his crop farewell. This is how we have to lower mountains in the qabars. This is how we have to go and drop them in the qabars. And they are going swiftly, my brother. They are going rapidly, my brother. If you follow news on the global level, in the recent time, great scholars have moved on. And everyone leaves a vacuum, and nobody can replace that vacuum. لَقَدْ قُتِلَ سَعِيدُ بْنُ جُبَيْرٍ. Imam Malik said, when Sa'id ibn Jubayr was killed, لَقَدْ قُتِلَ سَعِيدُ بْنُ جُبَيْرٍ وَمَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَىٰ عِلْمِهِ. The death of Sa'id ibn Jubayr leaves the Muslim world as orphans. The real scholars have moved on. Those that are here in the senior, and I'm nothing. I know my weakness, my brother. And this is not time for me to discuss, but the senior ulama, value them, honor them, revere them, respect them. So he said, Sayyidina Ali said, number one, a scholar. May Allah shower his choicest blessings on the soul of Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi. I am optimistic from Allah, and I have this conviction in Allah that our numbers that have gathered here undoubtedly is his cry, his dua, his vision and his hope. And whatever will continue to come here and the good that will continue to spread will be in his account and in his credit till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. I don't know how many times I've quoted this particular poem of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. Some people have died a physical death, but their character has kept them alive. Others are physically alive, but the evil has killed them before they physically die. He's physically moved on as a mortal, but he's alive in his character. While others are physically alive, and every day people are wishing they die. قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. My brother, it's better that history doesn't record you than remember you in an evil way. Ideally, history preserves you in a good way. وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. One of the aspirations and the visions and the supplications of the Prophet Abraham, and let my noble legacy continue, and let my name be honored and revered in the generations to come. And how Allah has responded positively, that Sayyidina Ibrahim enjoys being the faith of the three divine religions. Be it as it may, Sayyidina Ali said, a scholar. Number one, you need a scholar. عَالِمٌ يَسْتَعْمِلُ عِلْمَهُ. Number two, you need جَاهِلٌ لَا يَسْتَنْكِفُ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمُ. An ignorant man who's ready to learn, who's not proud, who's not arrogant. You see, there are some people who argue, but they have, you find some people who argue, the only basis of the argument is they're well read. So you know what, he will argue with the ulama, he will challenge the ulama, the only basis, the only leg he's got, he's a well read man. And I have interacted and encountered with many such people. Then you have another person who's not educated, who's not tutored, but he's well traveled. He's a seasoned traveler, he's a globe trotter. So obviously he acquires quite a bit of things, he sees, he observes, he learns, he picks up. So he argues. Then you get some people who not well read nor travel, but they argue. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ. You must see in Bayanul Quran what's written. عِلْمِ إِسْتِدْلَالِ عَقْلِ نَقْلِ. It will become philosophical and academic and scholastic. So the second person is an ignorant man who's ready to learn. The third person is sakhiyun, a wealthy man who's generous. His hand is loose and is ready to spend. He's ready to spend. In Madarikut Tanzil, in Surah Mumtahina, there's an incident mentioned where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So a person by the name of Abu Zayd says, قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَلْخ. Once upon a time, what were the discussions of the youth of that time? What do I say to the youth of today, if you only dedicate the time that you use in fantasizing on your first night in the zikr of Allah, you will be the wali of this time. If you dedicate the time that you fantasize on the first night, and today really, you don't even know because there's demo models, as they say. Forgive the phrase. Excuse the expression. Yesterday, Mawlana, Assalamu alaikum. Is this strange? Yeah. We performed a silent nikah. Is it okay? Hello? Sorry, who's speaking? How can it be okay? And even if it's okay, I won't tell you it's okay. How can it be okay? Okay, so must they still stay away? Obviously. You cannot believe the type of calls that come in and how people phone in and what's happening. Once upon a time, these were the statements of the youth. Abu Zaid said, قَالَ لِي شَابٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَلْخٍ. A youngster from Balkh came to me. He said, مَا تَعُدُّونَ الزُّهْدَ فِيكُمْ. A young boy is asking, what's the definition of zuhd? Zuhd, commonly translated as abstinence and disinclination. But somebody translated it very beautifully in the English language, and I really took to this translation. They said, zuhd doesn't mean that you mustn't possess the world, but rather it means the world mustn't possess you. Zuhd doesn't mean that you cannot possess the world, but rather it means that the world must not possess you. In English they say, to discipline yourself, if you're intrigued into something, you must walk away at the most critical moment. I read this in an English book. These are our teachings. At the most critical, the most crucial moment, you close the book. I'm not saying watch a match, but walk away. No, you say I'm advocating it. I'm not saying that. Whatever you intrigue, you gripped, you riveted into, at the most critical moment you move away. This thing will not dictate and control to me. So this youngster asked me, what is the definition of zuhud? So I said to him, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we must eat, and when we don't have, we make sabr. He said, هَكَذَا عِنْدَنَا كِلَابُ بَلْخ. Read Madarik al-Tanzil, Surah Mumtahina. It's mentioned there. Surah Hashr, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ. He said, sorry my brother, I don't know if it's this level of piety, no offense, this is even found in the dogs of our street. Our dogs, when they don't have, they don't invade the property, they make sabr. So then I said, okay, I backtrack, I revoke my sentiments. Please be kind enough to define to me what is zuhud. He said, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا إِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. When we have, we feed the whole creation. When we don't have, we join the others and make sabr. When we have, we invite. Why? Today Allah gave, so we invite in others. Imam Abu Hanifa, I read it. Nu'man ibn Thabit. One is his jurisprudence. That's great. But study him as a businessman. Study him as a man. Whatever money he spent on his family, the equivalent amount he gave in charity. How about taking your family out for a meal, for a nice fish meal at a restaurant? It's going to set you back a good 500 bucks. You're battling to drop a 5 rand in the hand of a beggar after that. You're debating what a lousy 5 rand. And then you're appeasing yourself. Others are giving him 50 cents. I gave times 10. We're playing games, my brothers. We're playing games. So what did he say? The third person is a generous man. And the fourth person, faqirun la yabi'u deenahu. A poor man who doesn't forsake his deen because of poverty. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sang the couplets, مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا وَإِقْبَالَهَا إِذَا أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ مَنَّا لَهَا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَاسِ النَّاسَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَرَّضَ لِلْإِدْبَارِ إِقْبَالَهَا فَاحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرْ وَأَعْطِ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ مَنْ سَأَلَهَا فَإِنَّ ذَا الْعَرْشِ جَزِيلُ الْعَطَى يُضَعِّفُ بِالْحَبَّةِ أَمْثَالَهَا وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَةَ لم يقبلوا بالشكر إقبالها تاهوا على الدنيا بأموالهم وقيدوا بالبخل أقفالها لو شكروا النعمة جازاهم. It carries on, it will be too long. In a nutshell, he says, this world is great if the man who has it knows how to use it. Then he says, Jabir, the recipe to increase what you have is what you take from Allah, pass on to the creation of Allah. فَحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرِ. And he lived up to it. Usud al-Ghaba, the narration, page 98. Someone came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said this verse, أَلَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَا. Those who spend by night and by day, openly and secretly. Who enjoys this privilege? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, besides Ali, who else? One janazah was brought. أَتَتْ جَنَازَةٌ مَحْمُولَةٌ عَلَى الْأَعْنَاقِ. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam's teachings was, Hal taraka min daynin, has the brother left behind any debts? So they said, yes, he's left behind debts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hal taraka min wafa'in? Has he left behind money to settle the debts? They said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I won't have the courage to lead his funeral prayer. The Nabi of Allah moves away. Islam is a great religion. Let me digress here. One thought comes to mind. In the Quran, when the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, it was a very one-sided peace treaty. One of the clauses were that if a Muslim comes from Mecca to Medina, Mecca is not conducive because it's infested with the infidels. It's not supportive to the Muslims. The Muslims are in Medina, it's safe, it's protective, it's peaceful for them. If a Muslim sneaks out from Mecca and he comes to Medina, then the Muslims in Medina cannot keep him, they must return him. Yet on the reverse, if a kafir comes, then you cannot apprehend him, you must return him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed and he said it's fine. Anyway, this happened and the peace treaty was concluded. Long story short. Thereafter, some woman came and then this verse was revealed which made an exception to the clause. I don't want to go into the details, but I want to elaborate on one point. I read it in the tafsir. So if a woman comes from Makkah, meaning she embraces the faith, or she is a Muslim, she leaves her non-Muslim husband, and she comes to Medina, then don't return her. This is an exception to the clause, because she is a weak person, she is a female, she is vulnerable, there's so much harm that could be inflicted upon her. So take her back and keep her there. However, ascertain that the motivation of her migration is noble, and she's not forsaking her partner or anything else. She's not being motivated by any other venture in Medina. She's coming earnestly to protect her iman. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا جَاءَكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ مُهَاجِرَاتٍ فَامْتَحِنُوهُنْ. Just I beg of your undivided attention. I want to show you the dealings of Islam. اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِهِنْ. Allah knows the truth, but ask her basic questions and make sure she's coming as a Muslim. She's not a spy. She doesn't have ulterior motive. She doesn't have any sinister agenda. There's nothing malicious. It's clean and clear, open book. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُوهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ فَلَا تَرْجِعُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. At this point, hostility is at its peak. Take her there and keep her there. However, she was formerly the wife of a non-Muslim in Mecca. That man had given her dowry as his permanent partner. She embraced the faith and came away here. Give her shelter and protect and harness her, but be sure to return the equivalent dowry to the kafir husband in Mecca. Be sure, this is the words of the Quran. You think you're doing Thomas and Peter and John down and you'll go to the Kaaba and patch up? It can't happen. وَآتُوهُمْ مَا أَنْفَقُوا. It's long, I don't want to go into all those details. So the janazah was brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's got a debt. He said, yes. He said, okay, then I'm not performing janazah. Sayyidina Ali comes from the rear. Oh Nabi of Allah, I haven't identified the deceased. And I'm not sure what the liabilities are. I have adopted his liabilities. Don't deny the man your prayer. All the claims are on me. Oh, what an atmosphere. We're having a fight at a janazah. Park here. Who are you to tell me? Off your phone. Oh my Allah. There's an argument in front of the qabr. And look at the atmosphere from the sahaba. The Nabi of Allah says, I'm backing off. Ali comes forward. وَخَشِيَ عَلِيٌّ أَن يُحْرَمَ الرَّجُلُ مِن بَرْكَةِ صَلَاتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Oh Nabi of Allah, don't deny the man, please. Whoever have any claims, talk to me after the janazah. I adopt his...
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.